Trouble on the Plains. Chapter Preview, Terms. Reconstruction, Pacific Railroad Act, Homestead Act of 1862, Freedmen, Reservation, Dugout, Garrison, Buffalo Soldiers, Rapport, Renegade. People: John Chupko, John Brown, Alan Wright, Oktar Harsars Harjo, Black Kettle, Kit Christopher Carson, Philip Sheridan, Roman Nose, George Custer, Laurie Tatum, Kicking Bird, John Seeger. Places: Leased Lands, Fort Nichols, Medicine Lodge, Camp Supply, Fort Sill. In 1864, before the Civil War ended, Abraham Lincoln was reelected president on the National Union Party ticket. The Republicans called themselves the National Union Party in the 1864 election to appeal to Democratic voters. Andrew Johnson, a Democrat, was elected vice president. Long before the outcome of the war was known, Lincoln began thinking about Reconstruction, or rebuilding the country. In 1864, he created the Freedmen's Bureau to protect the legal rights of former slaves, as well as provide them an education, medical care, and the opportunity to lease land. Lincoln also worked on the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution to abolish slavery throughout the nation. The amendment was passed by Congress on January 31, 1865, and ratified on December 6, 1865. After guiding the Union through the most difficult period of its 90 years, President Lincoln was assassinated on April 14, 1865, in Washington, D.C., by John Wilkes Booth, a pro-Confederate actor. Lincoln died the following day, sending shock waves across the nation. The sudden change in the national leadership from one political party to another created a new wave of bickering in political circles across the country. Section 1. From Destruction to Reconstruction. As you read, look for important federal legislation and its impact on the settlement of the West, treaties made with the tribes after the Civil War, and vocabulary terms: Pacific Railroad Act, Homestead Act of 1862, and Freedmen. The end of the war did not bring instant peace to everyone, even though the guns had become silent for the moment. The country, shattered and mangled, had to begin the process of turning chaos into order. The process of restoring lives was different in the Indian Territory from that in other parts of the country, and many things contributed to this. Opening the West. Two congressional acts passed during the height of the Civil War in 1862 made a huge impact on the country for years to come. The Pacific Railway Act began the process of building a railroad and telegraph line across the country, sometimes called one of the most important pieces of legislation in the history of the United States. The Homestead Act of 1862 turned over vast amounts of public land to homesteaders. 10% of the land in the United States, or 270 million acres, was settled under the Act. Anyone at least 21 years of age and head of a household could claim 160 acres of public land. Before the land was theirs, homesteaders had to pay an $18 filing fee, live on the land, build a home, make improvements, and farm for 5 years. Both the Pacific Railway Act and the Homestead Act contributed greatly to westward expansion. As organized territories and new states were opened to white settlers, more Indian tribes were forced to relocate to the Indian Territory, which had now shrunk to the size of most of the area in present-day Oklahoma. State officials, railroad men, land speculators, and timber industry people joined the settlers in efforts to relocate thousands of Indians. two U.S. Senators from Kansas, James Lane and Samuel Pomeroy, introduced a Reconstruction plan for the Indian Territory in 1862 that involved taking over some of the land of the five tribes and using it to relocate Kansas tribes. When the Civil War ended, terms of the new treaties with the Indian tribes were largely dictated by politicians from those areas that were now being opened to white settlement. Tribal Treaties. After the Civil War, tribal leaders were called to a meeting at Fort Smith in September 1865. Commissioner of Indian Affairs D.N. Cooley told the leaders that by joining the Confederacy, the tribes had invalidated earlier treaties with the United States. Cooley further stated that each tribe must proclaim permanent peace, abolish slavery, add the freemen, former slaves, to the tribe, and surrender part of their lands for other tribes. These new rules largely ignored the fact that some of the tribes had split and many tribal members had remained loyal to the Union. After 13 days of negotiations and delays in the proceedings, Cooley gave up on making new treaties at the Fort Smith meeting and called for a meeting in Washington. In 1866, leaders of the five tribes met in Washington, D.C. to negotiate new treaties. This time, treaties were worked out. The treaties abolished slavery and granted the freedmen tribal citizenship with the same rights as the Indians, including land and benefits. Each individual tribal treaty dealt differently with the loss of land. The treaties also provided for peace between the United States and other tribes, for railroad rights of way, and for a single unified government for the Indian Territory. The tribal delegates agreed to begin the process of establishing a unified government by holding an annual intertribal council. Chief John Chupko, Chakotay Harho, Foss Harho, and John Brown of the Seminole Tribe were the first to sign a treaty in March 1866. They lost all their land, over 2 million acres, to the United States, for which they were paid 15 cents an acre. They then had to buy 200,000 acres on the western edge of the Creek land for 50 cents an acre. The Choctaw and the Chickasaw signed a joint treaty that ceded the leased lands, southwestern Oklahoma, to the government for $300,000, which was to be held until the freedmen were granted citizenship and 40 acres of land. Chief Peter Pinchlin and Alan Wright were among those representing the Choctaw. The Chickasaw tribe delegation included Winchester Colbert, Robert Love, and others. Wright suggested the term Oklahoma, which means red people in the Choctaw language, for the name of the single territorial government of the Indians. The single government plan didn't materialize, but the name Oklahoma began to be used for the territory. Lower Creek D.N. McIntosh and J.M.C. Smith, and Upper Creek Oktar Harzars Harho, Coweta Miko, and Kachochi met in Washington to work out their tribe's treaty. The Creek tribe ceded 3,250,000 acres, which amounted to the western half of their lands. For that, they received $975,168, or about 30 cents an acre. Some of the money was to be used to restore farms, and some was for Union soldiers and Creek refugees. The two Cherokee groups sent to Washington included Union supporter John Ross and the Confederate group of Stan Watty, E.C. Boudinot, William Penn Adair, and John Ridge. The Cherokee had to give up their lands in Kansas, which were to be sold for at least $1.25 an acre. The government also had the right to relocate other tribes to the Cherokee outlet. The relocating tribes and the Cherokee would negotiate the cost of the land. The war had taken away almost a quarter of the population of the five tribes, and the U.S. government, as before, took away much of their land. Once again, the Indians began the slow process of rebuilding their lives. It's your turn. Number one, when were the Homestead Act and the Pacific Railroad Act enacted? Number two, why were the treaties that the five tribes had with the U.S. government no longer in effect? Number three, what did the treaties negotiated with the five tribes in 1866 require them to do?